we're heading into the holiday season, and really the holiday season can be an incredibly tough time for you. It's really, really a time of year that some people have a lot of fun, a lot of joy, a lot of pleasure, but it's also a time of year when people really go through a lot of personal struggles. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have either at one time or another, maybe even still, struggle some with holidays? Anybody besides me struggle some with holidays? You know, I'll tell you, every year there's some particular point in time that I have to really just get hold of myself, because if I don't, really, my whole holiday experience can be very negative. It can be very destructive, and really I can really mess up the whole thing for me and everybody around me. Anybody else have that potential to do that? Isn't it amazing how good we are at not just messing up our stuff, but messing up the stuff for everybody around us? Well, you know, we don't need to do that. We don't want to go there. And, you know, the great thing is that you really don't have to go there. And I'm going to share a little bit with you today and over the next few weeks about how to make this holiday season an incredible time. And I really want to talk to you today really just about the incredible supernatural power that comes from thankfulness. Everybody say thankfulness. And, you know, thankfulness is a choice. And, you know, we did just have Thanksgiving, so I guess that's got something to do with thankfulness. What do you think? You know? And thankfulness is a choice. This holiday season really, really should start from an attitude of thankfulness. And really, it should culminate at Christmas with really expressing thankfulness and expressing appreciation for other people. But, you know, there are some things that can really get you down in the holidays, and it's really easy to happen. You know, one of the quickest things is financial pressure. Everybody say financial pressure. Anybody under financial pressure yet about the holidays coming up? Yeah, I mean, it's easy to happen. Man, you get to the place where you think you're not going to be able to do what you want to do for people. You're not going to be able to buy gifts. You're not going to be able to do all these things. And man, particularly when you got kids, you know, when Brenda and I first got married, you know, we had 5 kids and just struggling, man, just to be able to make ends meet, just struggling to be able to do stuff. You know, I'd go off on these trips, not just at holidays, but I'd be traveling, you know, because early, you know, whenever we were married, I'd go overseas. I'd, you know, do missions trips and all this kind of stuff. And maybe I'd be overseas with one of my buddies that had 2 kids. And so he would buy gifts for his 2 kids. And I'm thinking, if I buy gifts for 5 kids, I won't have enough money to make it back home, you know? And so it can really be an incredible amount of pressure, around the holiday season. It can be financial pressure. And, you know, it can get beyond financial pressure. Sometimes maybe it's family pressure. You know, you got family that's pressuring you. You got family members. You kind of hate to say some of this stuff publicly, but you know, when I was growing up, one of the things I hated about Christmas was that I was going to have to be with my family. And you know, I'm not saying that was all their fault. I'm not saying that's just all about them. I'm just saying it was just the dynamics of the whole situation. I just hate it to get together with my family. And that doesn't make them bad, and that doesn't mean that all those factors are the same today, but I tell you what, it was really, really bad. You know, Ron and I every now and then we'll get together and kind of compare notes on this, let me just ask you, let me see, how many, and of course we come from a kind of extreme background, so how many of you ever had your house catch on fire at Christmas? Well, let's see here. We got one, okay. So how many of you at Christmas, somebody probably going to get put in jail? Anybody? Yeah, got a couple more. So how many of you at Christmas, there's a good possibility somebody's going to end up in hospitals? Well, you know what? Maybe your situations weren't that extreme, but that was kind of the way I grew up. You know, that was kind of our background. Of course, I believe Ron had it worse than we did. My brother and I actually would go down into the woods, cut down our own Christmas tree and bring it in. Ron said one year they had a tumbleweed for a Christmas tree. So hey, are y'all working on getting my notes back? Would somebody please get those for me? You can get them. All right, those guys are slick. I tell you, they're faster than a speeding bullet, right? But you know, the whole family thing, and you know, and so, you know, usually you, even though you may not have to worry about them catching the house on fire or somebody in the hospital, you always got that annoying family member that you're just dreading the whole holidays because you know you're going to have to go sound with that one person and have to be in the same house with them for at least a day. Anybody got any family members that you really just dread the holidays because of? I mean, that can be really bad, you know. I mean, and then you feel like there's something wrong with you. You feel like you're really, really a bad person because you feel that way. And then really just negative associations. Everybody say negative associations. You know, just whatever your negative experiences were growing up, and you start experiencing those things at the holiday. And really, for years and years and years, every holiday season, for me personally, it would just be a struggle with depression that would start at about Thanksgiving, and before I got saved, you know, it would end in about March when I sobered up, you know, and but thank God it doesn't have to be that way. But now I'll tell you what, every year, this is the honest truth, every year I have to make some clear choices and decisions for it really not to go that way. Because really, you get in that situation, and really what you need is you just need a miracle. Can I get, oh yeah. Well, you know what? Great things about miracles. We got the idea that miracles are something that if God wakes up in a good mood today, He'll work a miracle in your life. But the truth is, the miracle is that God has established absolute spiritual laws that any time that we make a choice to operate in them and yield to them and trust Him, that at that moment, something miraculous can happen in our lives. Everybody say, I got the miracle in me. And I'm telling you, man, the minute you make the right decision, the minute you make a godly decision, it's like the power of God explodes inside you, and suddenly you can start pulling out. And the real truth is, thankfulness is one of those things that will just turn the tide of your emotions. Now, I really believe that thankfulness is one of the primary attitudes of the person who lives in consistent joy and consistent victory. But now our tendency is to look at people who are thankful and things are going well in our life. Our tendency is to look at them and say, well, yeah, of course they'd be thankful. Look there, everything's going right for them. You know, everything seems to be going good in their life. And that's why they're thankful. But you know, that is really, I don't believe that's really how it is. They're not thankful because everything's going right. The real truth is things are going right because they are thankful. Can I get a yeah on that one? Come on. Now I want to tell you something. You got to make choices about whether or not you're going to live a life of thankfulness. You got to make choices about what attitudes and what emotions that you're going to bring into your life. And realize this: God can't empower you to do anything you don't make a choice about. You understand that? You know, God doesn't just come and say, okay, I'm going to force you to do this. I'm going to force you to do this. I'm going to force you to have this attitude. I'm going to force you to feel this way. No. When we make choices trusting God to empower those choices, then that's what happens. That's what the grace of God is. It's the power, the capacity, the ability of God that comes alive inside of us and makes us able to do what we really can't do ourselves. Isn't that great? Everybody say, I'm able by the grace of God to do what I can't do myself. Golly. Isn't that great? Man, you look at a problem and say, boy, I can't do that. Thank the Lord. I don't even have to worry about being able to do that. I can trust God that He can do that through me. You know, Paul, you know, Apostle Paul learned that lesson. He said, you know, Apostle Paul, man, he was a driving behavior style. Man, he was one of these guys. He was a I can do anything kind of guy before he got saved. I mean, he really was, you know. I can kill Christians. I can blaspheme God. You know, I can take over the world. And man, he was out to do it. And of course, you know, he made a mess out of his life. And he was one of these guys, if you really look at his life and take the rose-colored glasses off, man, you see all these continuous mistakes that he made all of his life. But you know, somewhere down at the end of his life, he said, you know, I've come to this place where I've learned to rejoice in my weaknesses. I got news for you. That wasn't natural for him. It wasn't natural for him to come to a place. You know, most of us aren't even comfortable with the fact that we have weaknesses. And you know, in the church world today, we're not even allowed to admit that we have weaknesses. You know, it's a bad confession or something. I got news for you. It's not only is it all right to know you have a weakness, it's a great thing to know you have a weakness as long as you know that God, where you're weak and where you'll yield yourself to Him, He will make you strong. Everybody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is in me. God is mighty in me. The Spirit of the living God is in me now. Come on, the Spirit of the living God is in me now, giving life to my flesh, transforming my emotions. Now see, that's got to be the reality we live in. I mean, that's got to be the place that we hook up to. Now, you turn your life around. You can turn really anything around if you start by turning your attitude around. You know, with God, everything is from the inside out. Everybody say the inside out. It's not the outside in, honey. It's the inside out. You know, you can be doing all the right things on the outside. You can still be miserable. You can still be depressed. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs. I believe it's Proverbs. Is it Proverbs 14? You know, where it talks about, it talks about how that, you know, on the outside you can have happiness, but on the inside you can have heaviness. It says there's a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is death. And he begins to talk about that way being where you're just trying to do it from the outside. You're trying to look happy and be happy from the outside. Well, I'll tell you something. You can make an attitude adjustment. Everybody say attitude adjustment. And from the inside, things are going to begin to change. Now, thankfulness is a choice. Everybody say it's a choice. Thankfulness doesn't happen because everything is going right. I want you to realize that. And you just got to make up your mind to that. Thankfulness isn't about all the circumstances being right. Thankfulness is about the choices you make and the attitude you have. I want to talk to you about just some elements of thankfulness. And I'm going to give you a lot of information here, and I'm going to try to crash through it pretty fast because I like to get you out of here pretty early. If we can just get in line before them doggone Methodists and Baptists, I tell you, then you know, we can get to, you know, but... I tell you, you know, most of the time I just preach 25 minutes and it's like they're still beating us to the trough. I don't know what the deal is, you know. But I'm going to give you a lot to work with, but over the next couple of weeks as we talk about just having a great holiday and how to have a great time of year, and really something you can take into every bit of your life. We'll come back and touch on this in more detail. But you know, one of the very first elements of developing thankfulness is, number one, just being aware. Everybody say being aware. You know, just paying attention, just noticing what's going on around us. You know, I say this all the time. For most people, life is what happens while you're not paying attention. Hello. You know, life is just going on around us, and suddenly we go, whoa, where'd this come from? And you're thinking, well, it's been crawling up on you for a year. What do you mean, where'd it come from? You know, we are just so out of touch with what's going on around us. We're so out of touch with our hearts. We don't even realize when we start changing on the inside for good or for bad. We're just so out of touch. But you know, to be thankful, you got to be aware. And we'll talk a little bit about awareness and how that comes to play in this. Also, you know, to develop thankfulness, you got to have value for every good thing. Everybody say value. Now, I want to tell you something. We tend to not really value the things that are going on around us. And we tend to not even notice the good things that are going around us, much less have value for them. You know, every single day, good things are happening in your life. I mean, there's probably not an hour of your life that goes by that somebody doesn't do something good for you. And the thing is if you're not noticing it, if you're not aware of it, it really doesn't benefit you any. It really doesn't affect your life any. You're so zeroed in on what's going wrong that you don't really get any benefit or any value out of what's going right. Number three, we're talking about the ingredients for thankfulness, is take nothing for granted. I'm gonna tell you, we live in a society of people that expect everything. We expect everything. And, you know, if you were born after about 1960, 1963, 1964, your slant on the world is probably very, very unrealistic. Because, you know, this generation just grows up and we expect things. We think that somebody out there in the universe owes us all of these wonderful things. And we just take people and things for granted. Think about this. Let's say, those of you that are married, just think about what are the things that your spouse does for you on a regular basis? Just, you know, whether it's your wife who you know, cooks for you on a regular basis, whether it's your husband that goes to work and pays the bills. And I realize that we did bring up an issue there for some of you that don't cook regular. There are other things they do. You know what I mean? So now don't get zeroed in on the negative here. We're talking about being thankful. We're not talking about having a bad attitude. But... you know, there's got to be some things that your spouse just does for you on a regular basis. Now, isn't it interesting how maybe when you first got married, man, you were expressing your appreciation for that. You were, oh, man, thank you, honey. You know, you cooked breakfast for me. You know, you didn't have to do that. That's so great, you know. And, you know, you get down the road, look like, where's my breakfast? You're supposed to have this, you know. Come on. I'm in a hurry here. You got to do this. I want to tell you something. Just because somebody's done something for you every single day, it doesn't mean they're obligated to do it. It's still a gift. every kind thing that anybody does for you is a gift. And you know, and I'll tell you something. You know, the divorce rate among Christians is higher than it is in the world. And I'm convinced that the reason for that is because as Christians, we have this tendency, instead of looking at what our spouses do and really appreciating it, we have our tendency to pull out the Bible and say, you're obligated to do this for me. And in the name of obligation, we're going to try to make everybody do what they want instead of just being appreciative. Everybody say appreciative. You know, man, I'll tell you what, when your wife brings, you know, meal $184,000 out to you, you know, you should still be saying, I appreciate that. You know, when your husband brings home a paycheck and maybe he's done that every week for, you know, for 25 years, you really should still be thankful. And it should be real. It shouldn't just be words. You see, we have this tendency just, number one, to take things for granted and not recognize everything as a gift. And I was sharing this last night, you know. I tell you, for me, honestly, every single day is a gift. Every day. Every day. This almost any day that I wake up and I'm not in pain. You know, I spent so many years in physical pain that every day that I wake up and I'm not in pain, it's a good day. It's a really, really good day. You know, it's a great thing just not to hurt. It's a great thing just not to wake up and dread the day. You know, I used to just wake up and dread. Any of you ever do that? Just wake up and dread the day. I used to hate waking up. I used to hate coming to consciousness because I dreaded the day so bad. You know, it's amazing. We get saved and man, after a few years, we're not even appreciative that Jesus died for us. After a few years, we lose the joy of our salvation and suddenly we're just taking salvation for granted. Suddenly we're just taking God for granted. And you see, we're losing that attitude of that thankfulness. And last of all, you know, if you want to maintain an attitude of thankfulness, you got to express your appreciation. Everybody say express. Now, today, you go out and eat a good meal. You go to the finest restaurant in town, and the truth is, that good meal that you can eat, if your digestion doesn't work right, and the whole process doesn't happen, that meal's going to rot inside you. And what was good food is going to go inside you, it's going to rot, and it's going to cause sickness and disease in you. Do you know that? You see, everything has to go through the whole process for it to bring health and life. I want to tell you something. I really believe that when somebody does an act of kindness for us and we recognize it, and you know, you kind of have that warm, fuzzy feeling. Hey, man, somebody did something for me. Oh, boy, it's good. And you're feeling all good about it. Personally, I think that if you don't express that appreciation, it's just like that food that you eat that rots in your gut. I believe that just holding that in your heart really just defiles you. And matter of fact, I'll show you in a minute what the scripture has to say about that. I think that when we fail to express our appreciation, that it just begins this whole corruption process in our hearts. So in light of these things that I feel like are essential for, you know, for having an attitude of thankfulness, the question is, what am I noticing? What is it I'm really aware of? What is it I'm paying attention to? You know, Psalm 68:19 says this. It said, blessed be the Lord who daily, everybody say daily. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Every single day, whether we're aware of it or not, God is working in our behalf. Every, you know, no matter what you're in, I'm going to tell you something. God is working to get you delivered. No matter what's going wrong, God's working to get it turned around. No matter how much you've messed up, God is trying to bring the pieces back together. How many of you believe that? I mean, I believe that, man. I believe God never, ever quits. But see, our problem is we're not tuned into that. You know, this room right now is filled full of signals, invisible signals. And if you had a tuner here, you could take that tuner and you could tune in on a particular station and you could pick up a radio station from signals that are floating through this room right now that nobody is noticing, paying attention to, or aware of. Because you become aware of something when you focus in on it, when you tune into it. You know, if you had your little palm television right now, you could just tune me out and you could tune in somebody else that you want to listen to. But you got to have a tuner to do it. You got to focus in on that signal. Well, I want to tell you something. That's the way it is with God. God's continually loading us with benefits. God, I tell you, every time you turn a corner, I got news for you. God's around that corner trying to make it get better for you. Even when it gets good, God's still trying to make it better for you. He wants you to live life to its fullest. Jesus came and died, conquered death, hell, and was raised from the dead so that we could have life and have it to its fullest. Can I get, oh yeah. I tell you, I'm all about life to its fullest. But why am I not noticing that, see? Why am I not looking around every day and going, oh my God, look at, oh no, look over here, another, oh my, look at this, you know? Really, every turn should just be, oh God, look what God's doing. Why isn't that happening? I'll tell you why it's not. Because we're tuned in somewhere else. You see, we're focusing in on something. We're focusing on what's going wrong. We're focusing on what's not going our way. We're looking for things to go wrong. We're expecting things to go wrong. I'll tell you, you can tell when you got the disease bad. When things start going right, and you go, better hold my breath. Things are going too good. I'll tell you, you got the crud. Hello. You got the spiritual crud. I don't make you a bad person. I'm not saying you're a bad person. You're just cruddy. But you can get over it. Everybody say, I can get over it. You can make some decisions. Get over that spiritual crud, man, and you get on with life to its fullest. You know, there's a scriptural principle that says what you focus on grows in your life. And there's dozens of scriptures. You know, the Bible talks about Psalm 34, magnify the Lord with me. You know, exalt his name, and talks about how you can magnify God. You can magnify your experience with God. If you focus in on God, then you experience God in a bigger way. You experience God in a more powerful way. I want to read you this from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:15. And this is from the Living Bible. It doesn't change the meaning in the Living Bible. I just like the way it reads. It says, when a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. And when he's cheerful, everything seems to go right. Now see, we thought that he was cheerful because everything was going right. But seeing how the Word of God is kind of true, then this is one of those places we've got to change our beliefs. It's not just the fact that he's cheerful. See, if you're cheerful when things go just because things go, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's the only time you're cheerful, then you are a slave to your circumstance. And your emotions are up and down, and your life experience is up and down. This scripture says that a person that actually in the King James, it says a person that's distressed, I believe, or oppressed, and it's talking about distressed mentally. A person that is distressed mentally and emotionally, it says things don't go right for them. But it says that the person who's cheerful, things just keep going right. You see, that attitude draws to us. Man, it's like having a big old magnet, you know? Some people just got a big old booger magnet out here. And just like everybody that goes by just flicks their boogers on you, and they just stick all over you, and nobody wants to have anything to do with you because you're all boogered up. I got a scripture for that. Give me a little while, I'll figure out where it is. But then you see that person, it's just like, man, it's like everything seems to go right for that person. And you know, you can just envy them. You can get to where you don't like them, man. You know what you'll do? You look at me and think, hey, I deserve that. You know, it should be going right for me. I deserve that. You know, it's not about deserving it. You know, God put these spiritual laws in effect, you know, and they work whether you deserve it or not. Hello. You know, gravity works. I got news for you. The people that are living in sin don't fall out of the airplanes. Gravity just works. You know what I mean? In other words, you just work these laws. They just work. And they don't work because you deserve them. They don't work because you're better than anybody else. They just work. And there are people that realize that having a good attitude, that having an attitude of appreciation, and having value for what's going right in their life, they just recognize, man, that's just a powerful thing, and that it changes their life experience. You see, your attitude is taking you somewhere. Everybody say, I'm going somewhere. Now, you might not like where you're going. I just want you to know that. Because you're either in a journey to darkness, or you're in a journey to abundance, one or the other. And there ain't no middle ground on this. I want you to realize you're heading one way or the other. Listen to this. I want to show you. In Romans, the first chapter, the 21st verse, really interesting scripture. And if you've read Romans, the first chapter, man, you read about these people that just got to the place to where not only were they a mess and not only was their life corrupt, but it actually says the whole world blasphemes God because of you. You become so corrupt and you're doing things that you didn't ever think you would do, and you're committing all kinds of sins that just don't even make sense. They defile, you know, and it just goes through this list of how corrupt these people come. And you know, you think, how did they get there? How did these people get to a place that they were so corrupt? How did it start? You know, that's a big question. How does it start? How does this journey into destruction and darkness, how does it start? Pretty simple. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Listen to this. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know how these people ended up out there? Because they stopped being thankful. The first step in backsliding is the first day that you look around your world and you actually believe that you don't have anything to be thankful for. You're already in trouble. Actually, the first step is before that. The first step is really when you get up and you look around at the things that are going right, and instead of being thankful, you say, oh, I hadn't got time to do that. I got to go over and look at everything that's going wrong. God, I would worship You and acknowledge You as God because of all these great things. But you know what, God? Truth is, I don't really want to talk to You about that. I want to talk to You about what's going wrong. You see, God, I really don't want to find success and happiness. I want to find failure and disappointment. The day that you start taking any of this for granted. Man, I want to tell you something. You know, I always tell people when I share my testimony, I talk about the day I got saved. You know, I came home saved to the bone. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, saved to the bone. You know, back in those days, you know, I was a hippie, and it's funny. You know, we used to play out here at the EM Club, out here on the Arsenal every now and then. Get real desperate for money, you could always go play at the EM Club. They didn't pay you much, but they gave you that 1.2 beer, and you could drink all night and make about $25. You know what I'm saying? And so you go out and play at the EM Club, and the big thing back in the 60s and 70s, and all these GIs would come running up to you and say, hey, man, I used to have long hair. And it's like, well, you ain't now. You know, get on out of here. You know, that was your status symbol. If you were a hippie, your hair was your status symbol, you know. And I'm telling you, I came home so saved, I actually got a haircut. Can you imagine that? I poured out all of my drugs. Man, I was saved. You know, nobody had to tell me to get out of sin. Nobody had to tell me to leave drugs alone. Nobody had to tell me to go to church. Nobody had to tell me to tithe. Nobody had to tell me to do any of those things. It's like, man, I am just so glad that I am not running full force to hell, that I just want to do everything I can just to express thanksgiving to God. Amen. You know, sometimes we just lose the joy of our salvation. And you know how we lose it? We just take it for granted. You know, I don't think you have to get up every day and say, hi, my name's Jim, I'm a recovering redneck. Or recovering. I got an email about that not too long ago. I gave somebody hope. You know, you don't have to get up every day and say, hey, my name's Bob, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I mean, but you know, really, you know what the principle, the real principle behind that is? Of course, the first principle is that you're owning your stuff. But you know what the real principle of that is? Don't forget where you came from. So you got to know who you are. And your sense of self can't be, hey, I'm an addict. Your sense of self has got to be, I'm righteous in Jesus. Your sense of self has got to be, I'm a new creation. Your sense of, but you know what gives all that meaning? When you say, but without Jesus, this is who I was. You know, there's a thought I have etched in my brain. It's a disgusting thought. But you know, I was 14 years old. I remember is after I'd run away from home, me and one of my best friends, you know, I left home really early, and me and one of my best friends, we broke into a liquor cabinet, stole a bottle of Jack Daniels or something, and went off and commenced to drink that filth of Jack Daniels sitting out in the field at night. And I didn't know then that my kidneys weren't working. So like when I would get sick or when I would get intoxicated, man, it was a death blow for me. I'd stay sick for days because I couldn't process these toxins out of my system. And you know, I just remember as a 14-year-old laying in a bean field out in the middle of nowhere, and all I did all night long was throw up and roll over. You know, because your biggest fear was that you'd choke to death when you reached that stage, you know. Just throw up, roll over, so you wouldn't have to lay face down in your vomit. You say, Jim, that's pretty disgusting. Well, let me tell you something. That is disgusting. And I have that clearly etched in my mind because I know that today, without Jesus, I'm just somebody laying in a bean field with a face full of vomit. I don't want to forget where I came from. I don't want to forget what it's like to know the pain and the destruction of sin. I don't want to forget that, because I always want in my mind that sense of this is where I was, this is where I am. Where I am is a gift from God, and every day I want to wake up aware that, man, I'm living in a gift from God. Every day I get to live some part of my dream, man. I don't want to take a minute of it for granted. Every day I get to hold my wife's hand and look her in the eyes and experience her love, I don't want to take a minute of that for granted. Every day that I get to have a good day with one of my kids, I don't want to take that for granted. Every day that I'm able to have food on my table, and every day that I'm able to eat, I don't want to take life for granted. But I want to tell you something. You got to work at this. You know what I'm saying? You got to work at this, because boy, you can just forget it. You know, here's what God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 chapter. He said, now be careful that when you come into these good things, be careful. He said, because you're going to go in there and you're going to live in houses you didn't build. And he said, you're going to eat grapes you didn't plant. And he said, and he said, you're going to have all of these things that came to you because you followed me into this place. And he said, beware lest you forget and you say in your heart, it's by my might and by my power that I have these things. And that's where he says in Deuteronomy, 6:18 or somewhere there, where he says, for it's the Lord your God that gives you the power to get wealth. You know something? I see more people that we reach backslide because after they get their life together, and after they've been off drugs for a few years, and after they're not making regular visits down to the hospital to get them some antidepressants, 3 or 4 years down the road, 5 years down the road, they're kind of like, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, it was me that did this. God didn't do all this. I did all this. I see more people that we reach backslide for that one reason. And you know, all that starts because one day they just wake up and take for granted the good things that God's doing in their life. Don't want to do it for a minute. You know, there's a Thomas Secker said, he enjoys much who is thankful for little. In other words, it's not how much you have that determines your joy. It's how much you're thankful that determines your joy. Frank Clark, a clergyman, said, if a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. See, truth is, you think that there's some place out there on the horizon that if you get there, suddenly, you'll be a worshiper. You know, and I'm not saying this out of criticism, but I'm just saying sometimes, you know, you stand in church and praise and worship's going on, and you look around and you see somebody you know where they came from, somebody you know where they were a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. you look around and you remember the day they used to come to church and man, they were excited and they were worshiping and they were lifting their hands to God. They were making this thing about God. They were connecting to God. And you look around and praise and worship's going on. They just kind of got their hands in their pockets like, you know, ho-hum. Big gladness is over. You know what? I think for me, I can't say for you, but for me, the day I can stand through a worship service and not engage my heart with Almighty God who loved me enough to send His Son to die for me, that day I have lost the joy of my salvation because I'm taking it for granted. See it? Is your attitude, is my attitude, is that taking us in this journey into darkness where our heart gets darkened and alienated and our understanding gets confused and we get off in these vain imaginations and before long we're someplace where we're not even really connecting to God? Or is it taking us somewhere else? Is it a journey into abundance? One of my favorite scriptures, and I'll wrap it up on this. I've actually preached right now 11 minutes longer than I like to. Psalm 140 verse 13 says this, I love this, it says, surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name and the upright shall dwell in your presence. Now the word righteous in the Hebrew language is almost always the word straight. And the word unrighteous is almost always the word crooked. Not always, but most of the time. And so it says, those that are straight, when your heart is straight, you can see the truth as it really is. See, it said back in the book of Romans that glorified not God. That word glory comes from the word doxa, which means the view and the opinion of God, which is reality. See, you stop glorifying God when you stop acknowledging His reality. See, on the day that you're walking around saying, oh my, I ain't got anything to be happy about, you have stopped acknowledging God's reality. You've always got something to be happy about. You know, I shared this last night, man. I'll tell you, I remember a day in my life and I had lost everything I had. I'd gone through major surgeries, had no insurance. I was deeper in debt than you could ever imagine. My wife left me. I went through horrible experiences. And, all of my dreams were coming to an end. And I'd been invited to speak at a minister's conference and they didn't think I'd show up because, man, I'd been gone through these surgeries and was struggling my life. And so, but I did. I showed up, surprised them, you know. And I was so weak I couldn't speak but just a few minutes because I just got out of the hospital. And so, you know, they were all, yo, life is so bad. Oh, my, yang, yang. And so it came my turn to speak. And so when they brought me up, they gave me this pathetic introduction about how pitiful I was because of all the hardships I was going through. It made me so mad, I'm telling you. And when I managed to get up there behind that podium, and I mean, I'm telling you, I was so weak, I was holding, I was bandaged up, they'd cut me every way you could imagine. And basically, the essence of my sermon that I spoke to those leaders about was this. It's like, no matter where I am today, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, my life today is better than it was the day before I met Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. We just tend to forget that. We lose touch with that. Our heart's not straight. Now, truth and light are synonymous. And you see, truth comes into our heart. Man, God's love is just always bubbling into our heart. But see, when you get a crooked heart, a heart that's not straight with reality, it's not straight with truth, the problem is it bends that light. You know, when light bends, it changes colors. And suddenly, the love of God doesn't look so special anymore. Suddenly, being forgiven of your sins doesn't mean so much anymore. Suddenly, eternal life doesn't seem so precious. You know, the Bible says that the upright, those who keep their heart straight, give thanks. They give thanks. See, one of the ways to keep your heart straight is always be thankful, to always be acknowledging the good things that you have in Jesus. Always be acknowledging the benefits of the kingdom of God. Always be acknowledging everything that God's done for you. And I'll tell you what, your heart will stay straight And the real truth is, you'll wake up every single day so thankful to be alive. So thankful. But it's a decision. It's a decision. What are you going to focus on? You see? What are you going to focus on? Where are you going to put your attention? You know, where is all this going to be? And are you going to deliberately bring value to every good thing? Are you going to refuse to take things for granted? And are you going to constantly express your appreciation? Stand up on your feet with me, if you would, please. You know, I'll tell you what. We just have such an incredible life. We have such incredible things happening. Man alive. You know something? It happens right here in this church. You know, you're in a church where you never get beat up when you come to church. You never get somebody telling you God's mad at you. You never get, you know, whipped on and use guilt and fear and condemnation. You know, people come here, and I'll tell you, the first 6 months they're here, it's like every service is like they feel like they're getting blasted into outer space because it's so good. They walk away feeling good. But you know what? I watch it right happen right here in church. Oh, 6 months, a year. Oh, yeah, yeah, God loves me. Oh, yeah, yeah, God's not mad at me. Oh, yeah, Jesus took it all. I tell you what, it's just so amazing how we can just lose touch with what's precious. Bow your heads with me if you would, please. I want you to look in your heart just for a few minutes. I want you to make a decision here today. You recognize that somehow or another you slipped over in that place where thankfulness is not really your abiding attitude. You slipped over in that place where maybe you take people for granted, or you take God for granted, you take the things of God, or you take church for granted, or you take relationships for granted, and you've just stopped saying thank you to God and to people. But you are not going to stay there. You know, you're making up your mind today, you are not going to stay there. If that's you, well, every head's bowed, every eye closed, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray with you and for you right there. Come on. I'm not going to stay here. I recognize that I have just stopped experiencing appreciation. I've stopped experiencing. I've stopped expressing it. And I'm going to. Right now, everybody say, thank you, Father, that you do love me. Thank you, Father, that Jesus died for me. Thank you, Father, that you're for me and not against me. Thank you, Father, for all the good things that are happening in my life. Thank you, Father, that every day, you're loading me with benefits. And I determine that every day I'm going to see and seize those benefits. In Jesus' name. Now you just keep your heads bowed, keep your eyes closed, and just kind of focus on that for a few minutes. And if you raise your hand, or you wish you'd raise your hand right now, you just talk to God about that. And if there are some things you need to tell Him about this thing, about getting to where you're not grateful, you tell Him. You talk to Him about whatever you need to talk to Him about right now.